not so. I sure don't feel worthy to stand up here, that's for sure. Be able to bear His name. How worthy He really is. You know, if you think about all that He's done for us, He's so worthy. Never saw those last two songs that we just sung. Those are the very songs that are being sung in heaven right now. So I want you to know that you just got a little bit of taste of heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And then we just sang, is He worthy? And in heaven right now, the Bible says there's 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels standing around the throne of God saying, worthy is the Lamb.
Amen.
It's not on, is it? Amen. Am I on now? We're good. He's worthy. Amen. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think. We'll go there. We'll start there. We'll see where the Lord takes us. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. All right, we're just going to read one verse. Go down to verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. If you don't memorize this verse, get it memorized. It's one of the greatest verses in all the Word of God. Paul is writing to this church here in Thessalonica, and he gets to the end of the letter here, and he's just writing a bunch of practical things that he wants to tell them, and he gets down to verse 18, and he says these words. In every good thing, give thanks. Is that what it says? No. When everything's going good, give thanks. No. Verse 18 says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We always pray for the will of God. What is God's will? This is God's will right here. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And that's what I want to talk to you about just for the next few minutes, is give thanks. Give thanks. Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks this morning. God, as we've come and we've already felt Your presence in this place today, God, there's nothing that can compare to that. And God, we thank You for being with us here today. We can't do this without You. There's nothing that we can do without You. The air that we breathe is given because of You. God, we can't even walk, we can't talk, we can't even breathe without You. God, You're our everything. And God, for that we give You thanks today. So God, I pray that as we come and as we open up Your Word, God, and I just give whatever You've laid on my heart, God, they don't want to hear what I have to say. The Bible says today if you will hear His voice, don't harden your hearts. So God, I pray that we will hear Your voice today. And You will soften our hearts to whatever You have to say today, God, and draw us closer to Yourself. And those people that need help today, God, I pray that You'll give them help the same way You've given me help. And Father, I love You today. Most of all, I thank You for loving me and for sending Your Son to die on that cross for my sins that I didn't deserve. But God, today You are worthy. So we give You thanks, Lord. So be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Bible says to give thanks. I know it's not November and I know it's not Thanksgiving, but we've still got a lot to be thankful for. I don't know about you, but I try my best every day that I wake up to be a thankful person. I've got so much to be thankful for. There might be a lot of bad that's going on in people's lives, but we've got a lot to be thankful for. I heard it on the radio the other day. The woman said there would be people who would literally pay $1 million to change lives with you today if they could. Do you realize that? There's people all around this world today that would pay to have the life that we have. But you know, there's a lot that we have to be thankful for. And I'll just tell you a few things that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for this church. All that You do for me, all that You do for me and that pretty little girl sitting right there. You've done so much for us, and I'm thankful that God sent us here to this church, because this church is not just a building. This church is a place to where we come together, to where we love each other. We are all one people under the blood of Christ that come together to love Him and to love each other. And I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for the good health that God has given me. I'm thankful for the seat that He gave me to sit in this morning. I'm thankful for the voice He's given me to praise Him today. I'm thankful for all these things today. He's been so good to me. And I know He's been so good to you. But do you realize every single thing that I just mentioned to you is something that could be taken away tomorrow? It's something that could be taken away tomorrow. And I don't know about you. I'm thankful for all those things, but there's one thing that I'm more thankful for than anything in this world, and that's my salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that's an inheritance that is undefiled, that is incorruptible, that is reserved in heaven for you, that nobody can take away. I have something today that cannot be gone tomorrow, but I have something today that'll never be gone, and that is my salvation. And I don't know about you, all these things in this world, all of our family, all of our friends, all of our possessions, they can all be gone tomorrow. But there's one thing that'll never be gone, and that's our salvation. And I'm thankful for my salvation that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we are called to be thankful people. This is a verse in the Bible that is something that is not a suggestion. But verse 18 is a command. Is for us to give thanks in everything. And as I said earlier, this does not say when everything's going good, give thanks. It doesn't say for everything good, give thanks. But the Bible says in everything, in all things, give thanks. And I don't know about you, but for me, when everything is going good in our lives, it is easy for me to just sit around and be rejoicing and be praising and saying, thank you, God, for everything that you've given to me. But when a struggle hits, when a trial hits, I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to be thankful as I used to be. Because when trials hit, we don't want to be thankful because we're so focused on that trial and that struggle that has come to our life. But what I want you to realize this morning is that the Bible does not say just give thanks for these good things. It says in all things, in everything, give thanks. But I also want you to realize what this text does not say. This text does not say for all things, give thanks. In other words, God does not expect you when you get cancer to say thank you God for this cancer. He doesn't expect you to do that. When a loved one dies, he does not expect for you to look at God and say, thank you, God, for the death of my loved one. The Bible does not say, for all things, give thanks. What does it say? In everything, give thanks. You know what that means? Right in the midst of whatever you are going through, you don't have to thank God for it, but thank God in the midst of it. Do you know how hard that is? This is one of the easiest messages I can preach, but it's one of the hardest things to live. This ain't hard for me at all to stand up here and preach it. But when we walk out into this world and struggles hit, it's one of the hardest things to do. When trials, struggles, and storms hit, to still be thankful in the midst of all of it. But this is a God-given command for us to give thanks. So how do we give thanks even when nothing is going right? How do we give thanks even when trials hit? How do we give thanks even when struggles come our way? Well, as I said, we don't give thanks for the trials, but we can give thanks in the midst of the trials. You say, how can we do that? Because in the midst of all of your struggles, in the midst of all your pain, in the midst of all the things that have come your way, God is doing something amongst us that you can be thankful for. And there's three short things that I want to give you this morning that God is doing that we can be thankful for in the midst of our trials. Give thanks that in the midst of your struggles and in the midst of your hard times that God is making us humble. God is making us humble. Now, I've come here to tell the truth this morning. Every single one of us in here have a little thing on the inside of us called pride. Amen. Every single one of us. It don't matter who you are, we've all got something on the inside of us that's called pride. You say, what is pride? Pride is saying, I can do it myself. Pride is saying, I don't need anybody else. I don't even need God to do this. I'm good. I don't need to rely on anybody. I got this myself. I don't need strength for anything. I've got my own strength. I can do this. I can rely upon myself to do it. You know, when everything's easy, most of the time we think we can rely upon ourselves to do the things of life. And pride says that. But do you realize God does not want us relying upon ourselves to do life? God wants us relying upon Him to do life. So you know what He has to do when we think we rely upon ourselves? He has to send a hard time to us to say, you can't do anything. Anybody else ever been there? When everything's going good and you say, boy, I'm doing everything good. But then something hits and you say, boy, I really can't do nothing without God. So in order to make us rely upon Him, you know what God does? He sends hard times. He sends trials our way for the main purpose of making us humble. Remember the thorn in the flesh that Paul had? Everybody knows the thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Paul had a thorn in the flesh that he woke up every morning and the problem was there. He went to bed every single night. The problem was still there. He had this thorn in the flesh. He asked God to take it away and God would not take it away. He's waking up with it, going to sleep with it. It was always there. Why did God allow that thorn in the flesh? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12, and lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted. Realize this. The Apostle Paul, everywhere he went, when he was preaching, people would come get saved. Everywhere he went, God was all over him. It would have been so easy for the Apostle Paul to walk around and say, boy, look at my preaching. My preaching's good. These people are getting saved. Everything's going good in my life. I'm good. I can do all this stuff by myself. And even the Bible says he got a direct revelation of something like John saw in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. So he's seeing all this stuff that nobody else got to see. So it would have been easy for Paul to be uplifted to say, I'm better than everybody else. So you know what God had to do? He had to give him something to say, listen, Paul, you're not better than anybody. I've got to give you this to keep you humble. And there's so many problems that come our way for the main purpose of keeping us humble. And I want you to realize this morning. If you could think of all the Christian qualities that we can have, the greatest Christian quality that you can have is humility. Do you realize that? All throughout the New Testament. The greatest Christian quality you can have is humility. And by the way, we're not born humble. Humility is not something we wake up with. Humility is something that's worked through trials. What about Moses? God used Moses to split the Red Sea. God used Moses to rain down manna from heaven. God used Moses to set free the children of Israel that had been in Egyptian bondage for 430 years. It would have been easy for Moses to walk around and say, look what all God is doing through me. Look at all the power that God is working through me. But what's the Bible say about Moses? He was the meekest man on planet earth. Numbers chapter number 12. The man Moses was more meek than anybody upon the face of the earth. Why is that? Because God, even though he had success, God gave him some problems to keep him humble too. I'll never forget the prayer her dad prayed at our wedding. And I got mad at him the other week for it. He said, give him enough successes to bring him joy, but also give him enough failures to keep him humble. That's what he prayed. And we failed the other week, and I looked at him and I said, this is your fault. I can't believe you prayed that for us. But he knows enough to know that unless we have them, we'll be up here thinking we're better than everybody else. So in order to keep us humble and relying upon God, God sends us problems. That's Moses. That's Moses and Paul. I want you to think about Jesus. If anybody could have came and walked down on planet earth and walked around and saying, worship me, I deserve to be worshipped, guess who it was? It was Jesus. People should have been falling down on their knees everywhere he walked. And yet, what did Jesus do? He fell down on his. When everybody else should have been falling down, he fell down. He is meek and lowly. And you can find rest for your souls in him. That was Jesus. He wasn't uplifted with pride when he could have been. He was the King. He was the Creator. He is everything. And yet he was the most humble person to ever walk the face of the earth. And that's the second thing God is up to in the midst of our trials. Because when God makes us humble, guess what else He's doing? He's making us more like Christ. Because in order to be more like Christ, we've got to be humble. In the midst of our trials, we can thank God because through those, He's making us humble. But also through those, He is making us more Christ-like. I want you to think back to the day you got saved. Think back to the day you got saved. And I sit here and I've thought about this often of why God still allows us to go through this sinful world, this troubled world, when He could just take us straight to heaven right after we got saved and everything would go good. But the reason God did not take us to heaven right after we got saved when He could have is because the main purpose for Him leaving us here was to conform us to the image of His Son. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, whom He did predestine, He also did foreknow. And whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of His Son. When He saved you, the main purpose was to make you more like Jesus while you're here. You say, well, how do I become more like Jesus while I'm here? Well, you know that as you look at us, we're us. When you look at me, you see me. So in order to make us more like Jesus, what God has to do is He's got to put us through some of the stuff that Jesus went through. And if there's anybody that ever suffered on planet Earth, Jesus suffered on planet Earth. And in order to make us more like Jesus, you know what the Bible says we also have to go through? The same thing. Suffering. For as the sufferings abound, so also the comfort abounds. But the Bible also says, for as the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Although we partake of the sufferings of Christ, there's a good thing, because we partake of that, we'll also partake of the glory of Christ. We get both. But we don't get to skip the suffering. I remember growing up. I'm still growing up. I used to look at all these, my parents, grandparents, people that were their age, going through stuff that I never thought anybody could go through. And I remember looking at them, Ray, and saying, maybe I get to skip that when I get older. Y'all ever do that? Y'all look at other people and say, hey, maybe I get to skip the trouble. I know they're going through it, but I'll probably get to go past it. Guess what? We don't. They might be on a different level. They might be over here, and we might be over here. But as Christians, every single one of us are all going to have to go through the fire and go through suffering at some point. But you know, we can give thanks to God in the midst of that. Because you know what God is doing in the midst of that? As you go through the fire, you know what the fire does? It takes away you. And when all of us is taken away, guess who the world sees? Jesus. So in the midst of all your sufferings, in the midst of all your struggles, what God is trying to do is work away at yourself, eat away at yourself, so all that is left is His Son. Give thanks to God in the midst of your struggles, because in the midst of your struggles, God is making you more like His Son. He is making you more like Jesus in the midst of all that. Paul said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. He said, I die every single day so that Jesus might live. Because unless we die, I told you last week, Jesus cannot live. So give thanks today that in the midst of your trials that God is making you humble. And in turn, He is making you more Christ-like. But also thirdly, I want you to see that thanks be unto God today that in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your suffering, you can still give thanks, because what He is doing is He is making us compassionate. He is making us compassionate. I want you to listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we might also be able to comfort them which are in any trouble with the comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted of God. What that says is this. Paul said, God is a God of comfort. And when I'm going through trouble, I find comfort in God. And when God gives me comfort, I also look over here and I see somebody else going through trouble. And guess what I'm now able to do? Go comfort them the same way God comforted me. You see, it's a triangle. I'm down here struggling. God is up there. God comforts me. But there's also somebody else over here that's suffering. So guess what I'm now able to do because I went through it? Walk over to them and say, I went through what you went through. And I'm now able to help you through it. Do you realize that's what happens every single Thursday night down in our fellowship hall? Something called a grief share ministry. Do you realize what they do that for? Because every single person that goes there has gone through the exact same thing. And they have come together because they all know exactly what it's like to go through it. And they're there to help each other because they've been comforted by God. And hopefully they can comfort each other through it. But do you realize they could not do that unless they went through that trouble first? And what God has done for most of them is put them through trouble so that they might help somebody else that's going through the exact same trouble. Paul said that's one of the main purposes God puts me through trouble. So that I might be able to help other people that are going through the exact same thing. You realize there's certain things that you can't look at somebody and say, I know what you've been through. There's certain things when you ask me to pray for you, I can look at you and say, I'll pray for you. But there are also other people in this church to where they can look at you and say, I'll pray for you because I know exactly what you've been through. And do you know what I'd rather have? That person who says, I know what you've been through and I've come out on the other side. So you know what God is up to in the midst of your suffering? Making you into that person who says, I've been there. So give thanks to God that in the midst of all that, God is making you more compassionate to other people. Because you can now look at them and say, I've been there. Now let me help you through it. Now, there's not a lot of people that are like that. But you know somebody who is like that? Jesus. There's a lot that you might go through today that I've never been through, so I couldn't help you. But there's a lot that you go through today that you can go to Jesus about because He's been through absolutely everything you've been through. There is not one thing that you face your entire life that Jesus has not already walked through. And because of that, you can go to Him about everything. Do you realize that? Jesus has been through everything. Heartbreak, heartache, losing friends, losing all these things. He's been through it all. And that's why He's so compassionate for us. Because He can help us in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your trials. So in the midst of all that, we can still give thanks because God is making us humble, God is making us more Christ-like, and God is making us compassionate towards other people. Now let me tell you this. There's a popular evangelist that, well, he's actually a pastor now, C.T. Townsend. He's all around America, holds huge revivals, people get saved. All the time, probably one of the most anointed preachers I've ever heard in my entire life. His wife's name is Becky. He tells this story all the time in his sermons. His wife, Becky, I think they were about probably 30 years old, and her mom suddenly died. Her mom just dropped dead. And Becky got bitter at God. Becky got mad at God. That God would do something like that. That God would take her mama away from her. And for days, for weeks, for months, C.T. tells a story that she was down in the dumps more than he'd ever seen before. There was nothing he could say to lift her up. There was nothing he could do to bring her back to the joy that she was at. And for some of you spouses, you know what it's like to have a spouse go through something and there's nothing you can say to help them. And that's what he was going through. So he went and talked to her dad and said, we got to do something. We got to pray because God's got to lift her up out of this. She's down and it doesn't seem like she's coming out of it. And they said, all right, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray that God will give us a verse, lay a verse on our heart, and we'll tell it to her and God will set her free and give her joy through that. I don't know if you've ever prayed for God to give you a verse, but that's a good thing to do. That you can hold on to the rest of your life. But that's what they began to do. They began to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And one day, Becky's dad called CT and said, "I believe I got the verse that God has laid on my heart, CT." He said, "What is it?" He said, "It's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks." And he looked at her dad and said, "Well, you're going to have to be the one that comes and tells her that, because I'm not." And he says, "All right, I just think this is exactly what God wants." So went over to their house that night. He said, "Becky, we've been praying for you, and I know that you're down in the dumps more than you've ever been, and for some reason you just can't seem to shake it." He said, "But God has told me a verse that you need to know." And he said, "It's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks." And she looked at him and she said, "You've got to be kidding me. You're asking me to give thanks to God for taking my mama. You're asking me to give thanks to God for bringing this sorrow to my life." He looked at her and said, "No, honey, that's not what I'm saying. The Bible does not say, for that, give thanks. The Bible says, in the midst of it, give thanks." In other words, don't give thanks to God for taking your mama. Give thanks to God that you had a mama for 30 years that raised you the right way. Give thanks to God that you had a mama that took you to church every single Sunday. Give thanks to God that you had time to spend with her in the time that you had with her. Don't give thanks to God for it, but in the midst of it, give thanks to God in it. And he said, big tears began to run down her eyes, and all that day, she got down on her knees and started praying to God and said, "God, I don't know how to do this, but thank you. But thank you. I don't thank you for it, but God, I can thank you in it." And they said when she began to thank God, for some reason that burden just lifted right off. And she got back to the joy that she used to have. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:18 said, in everything, give thanks. I don't know about you. This world is a hard place. And by the way, it's not getting any easier. It's not going to. It's not going to get any easier. There's no telling what this next year is going to hold. There's no telling what kind of struggles somebody's going to go through this next year. I don't know what I'm going to go through. I don't know what we're going to go through. I don't know what you're going to go through. But God does. God does. And I don't know if there's a burden on you today. I don't know what you've been weighed down about and your heart just can't seem to go anymore and it's so heavy. I don't know what it is. But I want you to know God knows what it is. And I want you to know you don't have to thank God for it. But I don't know what it is, but there's something so powerful about in the midst of it saying, "God, although this makes me weak, thank you. God, although this makes me sad, thank you. God, although this is painful, thank you." And I don't know what it is, but God will do something in your heart when you even say thank you for your weaknesses. When you even say thank you for your pain. When you even say thank you, God. I don't know why I'm going through this, but thank you. Because through it, you're doing something that I don't see. I don't know what you're going through today. But I do know one thing, that I've found help so many times right here on this altar. So many times right here on this altar saying, "God, I don't know, but thank you. Thank you." And that's what I want you to do today when we start this invitation. Musicians, come forth. I can see it in your faces. There's burdens on your heart. There's things that are on your mind, that are on your heart, that are so heavy. But the Bible says in everything, give thanks. It'll be probably the hardest thing you've ever done. But you'll also find out that it's one of the best things you've ever done. Say, "God, although I'm struggling, although I don't know what, I don't even know how I'm going to wake up tomorrow, thank you. That it makes me rely more upon you. That it makes me more like your son. And that it makes me better minister to somebody else." If you want help, come down here and find it. Because He'll give you help when you need it. Father, thank You for Your help that You give us. Thank You for the comfort that You give us, Lord, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our trials. God, there's not much that we can understand, but God, You understand everything. And God, I can see it today that there's so many in here today that are hurting, that are going through something today, and they don't even know how they're going to wake up in the morning and go through it again. But God, You know. And You can take them through the fire, Lord, as You've done before. So I pray that You'd do that, God. But most of all, I pray they'll find comfort in Your presence, find comfort in prayer, and find comfort, God, in giving You thanks. Because God, we're needy people. We're people who need help. And God, we just need You today. So I pray that You'll give us help. Give those help that need it so desperately today. And God, most of all, for that person who's never accepted Christ, I pray that today might be the day. Lord, thank You for loving us. And thank You for Your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.